Good morning. I do want to commend the people of God for contributing to the signs. This is your church. And every time you contribute, you add more skin to the game. God had spoken to me and said that the signs were covered. I didn't realize. I felt like Moses, you guys are giving too much, but we're able to upgrade the internal workings of the sign with that addition, so keep it coming. You know, we're praying about what's next for streams, so continue to pray so we can accomplish mighty things with God. And, you know, it's really great to that I can brag on you guys as much as I do. I can even brag on you more and more. Amen? All right. Take out your swords. We're going to say a simple prayer. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. Come on. Come on. This should be exciting. Father, I have your word and I know it's true. I am what it says I am.
I
have everything it says I have.
I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I was sharing with you that I was sensing some things in the spirit. Excuse me. About where we are collectively and individually. And from the messages have been geared in such a way, and I know it's bearing fruit just by what you guys have done in response to God's call. Today's message is no more fruitlessness. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, it was really something to think about. Why is it that God is usually the last person we ask to help us and not the first? If we call ourselves Christians and He's our Father and we've skinned our knee, why do we run from Him? I'm not soliciting any answers. I'm just trying to get you to start thinking again that this is your Father. Think about when you were a child and you fell down and skinned your knee. Who did you run to? Mom or Dad? Anytime we find ourselves in a pickle by our own doing or undoing, we usually try to solve the problems by ourselves. Because after all, we got ourselves into this mess. We're smart enough to get ourselves out of it, which I shared with you that we're smart enough to get ourselves into trouble, but we're not smart enough to solve the problems. Only Jesus Christ can. And so today about fruitlessness, I'm concerned about what the enemy is doing to deceive you in such a way to keep you from being positive, knowing that your God has promised whatever He has promised, because all the promises are yea and amen in Scripture. Why aren't you receiving those promises? They don't just appear magically. You first have to be His kid, first of all. And second of all, these promises are specifically for His kids. And so what I'm going to talk about today is about His kids. Do you feel that in your life there is an invisible hold on your life in such a way that you advance, but you're constantly being drawn back to your circumstances? Just want you to think. I don't want you to raise hands or nothing. Do you feel that victory is caught up in the jaws of defeat. I'm here to share good news with you to understand, like I said last week, the game is rigged. You are winners. Your Father has sent His Son to break the curse, set you free from the law of sin and death, and now in that freedom, you can enjoy your new life as He removes these invisible barriers in your life. We have to understand that, again, it's been said, God has a plan for your life. We all know that, right? But so does the devil. And he is working overtime in your life that you do not realize how important you are to God and the job he wants you to do. Turn with me to 2 Kings 2, 19 through 22. We're there? Yes. The men of the city said to Elijah, if you don't know who Elijah is, he is the protege of Elijah. He was there to receive a double portion when Elijah was taken up. And this is shortly after that event. That men of the city came to Elijah and said, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Elijah said, bring me a bowl and put salt into it, a new bowl, and put salt into it. So they brought to him. Then he went out to the spring and threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says, I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death and make the land unproductive. The story is about men coming from Jericho, understanding that Jericho was under a curse by Joshua when he conquered that city. And to the day of Elijah. And Elijah did something and said that the water was remained wholesome to this day according to the word, or pure. And you can go to Jericho today and drink from that well, and it is still as good as the day God performed a miracle. Amen? When these guys came to Elijah, they described that their location was good, except the water was bad, and when they used the bad water, nothing would seem to grow. Does this describe you? Can you relate to this? Does everything on the outside look like, man, it's great. I got the bull by the horns, you know, and I'm able to do everything outwardly. But inside, your heart is filled with bitterness, resentment, frustration, hostility, and you direct it towards God. You see, God is not our enemy. If God is for us, who can be against us? And most of us look pretty good on the outside, but God looks at your heart to see what is consumed with it. We do all kinds of things to run from God because, after all, we don't want God to tell us what to do about our lives. We still want to call the shots. And as I said last week, one day we're going to wake up and realize that He's always been in control. He's just been steering you through the events of your life, your decisions, to a place that you come willingly and surrender to Him so that He can cause you to enjoy your life that He's given to you with Him. That's what it's all about. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about somebody telling you you have to do this or do that. That's religion. And Jesus came to set us free from that. Jesus came so that He could relate to us. But Satan does not want us to relate to God. Inwardly, you're fighting a battle that seems like it's all uphill. And everything that's coming down is snowballing in your life. And God is standing on the sideline saying, yeah, how's it working for you? I could stop this in a second if you would surrender to me and trust me. But we will continue to do the dance until we surrender. And as Holly said, you know, the choice is yours, you know. But He's going to have His way, one way or another. Your situation may seem like you are fighting an invisible reality. And I've said to you over and over again, your enemy is not the person sitting next to you. Your enemy is unseen, invisible, doesn't play fair, does things to woo you away from God. And when he woos you away from God and you finally realize you've traveled so far away from God that you don't know how to get back, the fact of the matter is God is there with you, waiting for you and me to invite Him in. Your situation is slowly becoming desperate, whether you understand it or not. Because what is happening in you is you are mad at God, and God has done nothing. You have no understanding as to who your friend is and who is your lover of your soul. And so what we do is we do things that are totally contrary to what God says for us to do. And so what happens is God takes that veil that is over your mind, and then you start looking at your situation. Your happiness is not responding to the things that your spouse would do. It's not predicated on that. Your happiness isn't to be anesthetized by drugs or alcohol or whatever is going on with you. Your happiness is only found in Jesus Christ, if you believe it. If you believe, to him who believes, all things are possible. Greater things are possible. I believe that we are just at the beginning of what God wants to do with us. I see it. I see how I've asked you in a week. You responded, and I believe you prayed, and God spoke to you what to give. But you fought all week. Man, if I give this, will I be fed? We were fed. Our bills were paid. Everything is to reveal to you just how great God is. Amen? This is precisely the situation that Elijah faced. These guys were desperate. You think about this. Let your mind wander. Here he is. He's sitting probably at a home or something. And these guys come up to him. yo, dude, we got a problem here. And he's like, okay. He said, you know, we like living here, but the water is bad. I was talking with an individual who was relating to us. Would you like to live in Detroit with all the problems that they have with their water? I wouldn't move to that city knowing that there's lead in there. But God is great in mercy to us. So he says to these guys, get me a new bowl and fill it with salt. Now you have to understand, this is Old Testament thinking. They're thinking covenantal relationships. They're understanding the symbolism of salt. Salt is not just for seasoning our meals. To the Old Testament believer, salt symbolized purity. And so when Elijah was calling for purity, he was believing God was going to make that water pure, which the end result, the miracle was. It was. In the physical reality of it, salt, when you add it to water, makes it salty. It's not good for you. It's, why did Elijah use salt? Why did he sprinkle salt on the water? The purpose of the salt was he was a covenantal relating to God because he was part of God's covenant-keeping people. He used the salt because the salt was symbolizing faith to purify the water. And God would take that faith and do the miracle. Remember I said that grace is the highway and we all travel on. If we use faith to get onto this, God will take us the rest of the way. Do you have faith to believe? Do you trust God enough in your situation? And so, here's Elijah, he gets a new bowl, and I tried to find out what new bowl was. Give me a new bowl. You know, he didn't want it dirty. He didn't want to contaminate it. He just wanted a new bowl. And what he did was he went to the headwaters. He went to the spring. And he threw the water into the spring. And God performed a miracle. A miracle that is still self-perpetuating its reality to this day. The curse that Jericho was under was part of this because of the water. There was bitterness, resentment, all kinds of stuff that kept the city from prospering. Does everything you do prosper? No, does it? But everything that God touches, he brings life that causes fruit to prosper. Do you believe that God wants you to prosper? This is yes. There's no no's in God. It's yes. He wants you to prosper. But you got to trust him. The salt didn't heal the water, but it was an instrument that God used to elevate the faith of the people. Can you imagine for a second, these guys standing there, and here's Elijah just throwing the salt into the water. Think about it. And these were supposed to have faith. Every time you read the story of Elijah, no matter where it's at, the healing of this water, he does something unexpected to elevate the faith of people, and God takes that faith and carries it all the way. Even to the place where Paul says, you know, if we run the race, at the end of that race is what? A reward, a crown of glory awaiting for each one who runs this race. But there's this invisible barrier that's going on, and it's seducing to us because it makes us think that if we decide, we make a decision about something, it's going to turn out really great. I mean, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I'm going to do this thing. Oops. Not working for me. I had planned this all along. Key ingredient is God. Where's God? Why are you mad at God? He didn't do anything but make you free. The cross. He paid for your liberty, for your freedom. So if it's not God, then we have to realize it's Satan who wants to keep you from having good fruit prosper in your life and good fruit blossoming in your life. How do we do this? Well, first we have to understand that salt and the purifying of the water is used more than just for healing. In the Jewish culture, healing, rapha, when Moses healed the waters, he threw a stick, it's actually a limb, into the waters, mara, which means bitterness, so that Israel could drink. If God did it for one, and here we are, now it's Elijah the prophet, who's doing something a little bit different for a similar miracle happening, he will do it for you if you elevate your faith and believe good things will happen to you. Satan will lie to you. Satan will cheat you. Satan, his job is to rob, to steal, and to kill you. He hates you. Look at your life situation right now. Is it prospering? Is all good things working out together for the good? Are you running from God and still making decisions? Is Satan using things to seduce you, to keep you where you are, and not give God the glory that he so deserves? And that is dealing with our hearts. Elijah dealt with a physical reality for people. We don't know how many people came to Christ or came to God in that miracle. We just know of the miracle. Healing is more than just our sinuses are blocked. God wants to heal that. It's more than a physical impairment. God growing limbs. It's more than God's just speaking to me about your friend. He's going to operate on the inside while she's waiting on the outside. Healing, the word healing, rapha, is revealed when Moses threw the stick into the water. He was revealing Jehovah Rapha. And his healing is more than your present condition. God's going to heal you too. So don't worry about it. He knows right where you're at. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. All right, Robin? God sees where you're at, but he's doing it. What's going on with you is he's working in Jimmy. Healing means a totality, body, mind, spirit is totally healed. When we come to Jesus Christ, that reality is ours. That day we give our life to Jesus Christ. And for healing of nations, and for healing relationships, and for healing friendships, jobs. It just flows like a stream all through your life. Healing is all over it. That's God. It's not just, I got a gimpy knee, and God is, someone prays and that knee is better. No. We ask too little. We only have what we ask for. We should ask for total healing and watch God bring it to pass. We should be praying for nations. Do you not understand they are the inheritance that God wants to give to us? Satan doesn't want us to reach the nations. Satan doesn't even want you to go outside your door to talk about God to your neighbor. Satan doesn't even want you to believe that God is this good. He is. God is able to do the miracles, but it requires your faith. Everything that Jesus did, we are told that he went around doing good, healing all that he contacted, and destroyed the works of the devil. Wherever you're at presently, it's not because God wants you there. It's because you haven't invited him in. You still think that you have to do this by yourself. The reason people prosper is because, one, they've asked God. Now, that's not carte blanche, because I've realized in my own personal life, I had to go through a whole bunch of obstacles that I had created until God was able to start blessing my family to the point of where it is today. And if he does it for me, he's more than willing to do it for you, because as his people, your testimony tells about how great he is. And if he's not doing anything in your life, maybe you need to repent and ask him. You see, I think what happens, scripture says that men walk around the world with their minds darkened. Satan darkens our minds and gives us a belief system that I can do this. I don't need anybody's help. Bless you. Has anyone been there? Every hand should be up. If we're honest, we may be there right now. What I believe, Gomez, would you hand this out? What I believe God wants to do is become your Jehovah Rapha. He wants to heal you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have so much fruit in your life and stop experiencing the barrenness and death that Satan wants you to live under. What oppression. What oppression. Jehovah is able to heal all our personal afflictions. He's able to heal our sicknesses, diseases, discomfort, and distresses because He wants us to live in peace. Not peace necessarily one with another, but inside have this peace that produces additional fruit. You look at Galatians 5, what's the first thing that you have? Peace, love, joy, gentleness, faithfulness. You have all these things in you, but He wants to produce peace because salt is not only relating the purity between God and man, it also is used in the purity of relationships between man and man. Here's a gauge to know that you're filled with unruliness and stuff. How many people gossip about somebody without knowing the facts of what's going on or praying for them? That should show the condition of your heart. What Irene and I are doing personally is two things. We're living in a judgment-free zone. We're not judging anybody. It's good practice because you become aware. The Holy Spirit makes you aware. And we're going to love unconditionally. Doesn't matter. I'm commanded to love. You're commanded to love. You're commanded not to judge. But the scripture says, Pastor, that the spiritual man judges all things. That is true. Etymize the See what that word means in the Greek. Exergize the word. It means to discern, not place judgment. It means to discern to help, not to love. It means to forgive when people don't deserve forgiveness. We didn't deserve to be forgiven, but yet Christ died on a cross for us. Elijah faced the same physical problem. I'm talking about a spiritual problem. I believe God wants us to prosper so much. As Trump would say, you're going to get sick of winning because you're winning so much. Well, you're going to get sick of prospering so much that you're going to constantly give away and God's going to bless you more. You can't outgive God, but you can be like God and give to needs. Open your homes. You know, provide meals. Make you sensitive to those who are perishing, to their needs. God gave me this prayer, this life-changing proclamation. It is a prayer. If you want what God has for you, repeat after me. Because this is pertaining to all of us. I'm not satisfied in the prosperity that I'm experiencing now. I want more. I want to see what that looks like and experience it. And I want it for you too, because I do know that God is good. Only you can make it happen. I can't make it happen for you. So, say after me, or say with me, Lord, I realize from all that has been shared, all the frustration and fruitlessness I have been battling is not simply a product of my own inadequacy. It may well be a curse that is obstructing my progress. Thank you, Lord, in making me aware of these spiritual battles. With your help, I want to address and reverse the effects from my life forever. I take the authority of your word and proclaim the same words you spoke through Elijah. I have healed this water from where it shall be no more barrenness and death. I proclaim the curse which has been stifling fruitlessness and productivity in my life is now null and void by your word. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim no more fruitlessness over my family, over my life, over my ministry, and my work. I proclaim no more death, no more defeat. I proclaim that my life and family, victory, productivity, fruitfulness, and success in every aspect of my life. Thank you, Lord. I receive this marvelous transformation on the basis of what I have proclaimed by your word. I will give glory for every victory that I will walk in from now on. Amen. I believe that God is more than able, but he's got to get us, one, to renew our minds. We've got to start agreeing with God and stop agreeing with our enemy. God is able. God is more than able. God is desirous to prosper you, to bless you. Read Deuteronomy 28 and all the blessings that is recorded in the scriptures are yours in Jesus Christ. But also read the curses that are in your life right now and renounce them. Christ has broken that on the cross. He has healed your life. You just haven't realized it yet. Every problem that you face from this day forward, God will give you solutions. But I can't give this up. You're trying in the flesh. Ask God to give you strength. Eventually, it will be defeated and going away. He promises us that one day we will be looking for our enemies and they will not be found. God has given us an ultimate victory. He has healed us. He has healed our hearts. He has healed us from the hurts of rejection, lack of love, improprieties, unwantedness. What happened to your parents, I read this and it says it can't happen to me. God says it. I have to do what God says to do in order to receive those blessings. I can't just start and say, it's not working for me. You're either committed to Jesus Christ or you're not. He knows your heart. Are you tired of living the same old? Or are you at a place in your life where you want to receive good things in your life? If you are, stand with me. I cheat because I'm already standing. Robin, you're like that little boy. Even though he was sitting, he was standing on the inside. Amen. Father, we just love you. We declare that your word is going to work on our behalf. That those situations that we're in, all resentment, all bitterness, anything that is found in this well that is stopping living waters to come forward, I declare them removed. And the purity of your word, the purity of your spirit, the purity of peace that passes all understanding is ours right now in Jesus' name. I command blessings to befall your people, God. That you bless them when they come in and when they leave, oh God. That they can't run and hide from you because you're just going to load them up with more and more blessings. Father, make it so in Jesus' name. You may be seated. God, I would encourage you guys to keep this proclamation somewhere where you can just pull it out and read it. Every time that you're finding yourself in situations that is not of God. You need to constantly remind yourself. That's why God says, you know, His Word. We got to constantly read His Word. We got to constantly meditate on it. We forget. I don't want you to forget. I want you to be so blessed that these blessings that will befall you will reach out and start touching other people's lives. And they'll start saying, what is it that's doing? Going on so well with you. Weren't you having XYZ problems? And then you say, well, come here. Let me talk to you about what has happened. And you will be able to testify about the goodness of God. After all, that's all He wants. He wants to enter into your life so that you can enjoy your life with Him. A scripture that has befuddled me until recently was, Enoch was with God, and then he was no more. He was so in tune with God, walking with Him. He wasn't performing any religious activity. He was just enjoying his life with God. And they couldn't find him. Wouldn't you like to be caught up in that? Because one day we will be caught up. Go in peace. May the blessings of heaven fall upon you and your family from today and forevermore. God is working to change your situation. Find out what your part is and do it. Amen? Blessings on you.